General Kenobi.
Hello there.
Hello there, and welcome to Hello There, Episode 2. This is a Star Wars podcast. I'm Anthony. I'm joined with Nate Hicks, as well as joining us again this week, Jeffrey Mizrahi.
What up, what up, what up?
So, we did promise that we're going to be more regular with the show, and then we immediately took a day off, or took a week off. But it's the holidays, so that's why we're going to try and be regular going forward. You know, it's Christmas, so we didn't want to really record that week. So I think we were all busy anyways. But this is January 1st, 2021. We are in a new year. It's going to be a new era for Star Wars. This week, we're going to catch up on the Lucasfilm projects that were revealed a couple weeks ago. Because we didn't talk about them in the last episode, because the last episode we dug into the Mandalorian season finale. There's a lot of Star Wars going on, so I'm excited to dig into it with you guys. How was your holidays? Get any Star Wars stuff? How you feeling?
Oh, good question. I like that as a starter. Star Wars gifts? Yes. So I'll start. For my roommate, I got a Baby Yoda t-shirt, but like, I think a solid one. So it's like a, you know, black with like a gray outline of Baby Yoda kind of vibe. Like, it's like simple. It's not, doesn't say like, oh, I want to fuck Baby Yoda, or just some like weird, insane thing. A Art of Mandalorian season one book, dope art book. From my office, Secret Santa, I got J.W. Rinsler's The Definitive History of Star Wars, which it has been 2 weeks since I got that, and I still have not actually read it. I like have been looking at it constantly, like on the like the cover.
Yeah. Shout out to J.W. Rinsler. I think he is actually, is he not well?
Ooh. Whoa.
I think
he actually does a lot of them. He does the definitive history of Blade Runner also, or Alien.
I think he just announced that he had, let me see, because I think he,
But yeah, you read that book, you get the Ralph McQuarrie art book for like the Star Wars inspiration. That's
So J.W. Rinsler actually, it looks like he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. So that is rough. So, I mean, we're not a very big podcast, so it's not, I would say, you know, anyone listening, go, you know, share some love to Mr. Rinsler. But yeah, I mean, I hope he gets better. I mean, he's been doing these Star Wars art books and all this documentation and stuff since really almost the beginning. So
they have them, I think, for even it goes up to the Phantom Menace, the definitive. Well, I know because I know they have the original trilogy.
But I mean, he's been doing Star Wars stuff in general.
Yeah.
For a long time. So, I mean, I'm wishing him the best. Hope he gets well. Stage 4 cancer is no joke. So, you know, I'm hoping he gets better. So, so what else did you get? You got the art book. You're trying to summon the courage to get through it.
I'm trying to think what else I got. I bought for myself a month ago at this point for Black Friday, the Tantive IV, Lego, finally built that over this holiday. So I gave the built version to myself.
Nice.
But yeah, that's about it. Nate, how about you? What did you get?
So I actually didn't get a lot of Star Wars related things. I think the most thing I did get was a $50 PlayStation gift card, which I used to buy Vader Immortal, among other things. So still haven't played that yet on PSVR. I bought that in like super hot, and so I've kind of played more super hot. But
was on sale? Was that a sale at all?
Yeah, so I got Super Hot 1 and technically the sequel, which is Mind Control. It's kind of weird. Dead Island, like the two games, Riptide and Definitive, and Vader Immortal for $49 altogether.
Nice.
Wow. Dude.
Vader Immortal is like 20. So
I got some good deals on Switch and PlayStation this holiday season too, but this is not a video game podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I got, so I got Vader a, Immortal. try that out. And then before Christmas, I actually ended up watching the Lego holiday special. And
so what'd you think? I never watched it. I like totally forgot about it.
Oh, you missed the whole holidays.
I know. I totally
missed it. It's kind of one of those. It's kind of one of those that I appreciate it. I'm glad it was only 30 to 45 minutes long, because I think that fit. If it would have went longer, I think I would have been a little bit more about it. But it's definitely kiddie. It's kind of one of those you really have to put on. You're like, okay, this is just going to be dumb fun. I'm going to watch. It does some interesting things. I will say that. Like, some of the jokes they make and some of the things that they do is funny. But it's kind of one of those, and I think you'll share the same thing, Anthony, is I had a hard time trying to take away my frustration with the sequel trilogy when watching it.
Dude, it actually makes the sequel trilogy better.
It does. It's one of those things. It's like, this is good stuff, man. Why didn't we get like just good banter dialogue between these like
insane, right?
Group members throughout the film.
Because Rian Johnson says to,
because we wanted Rey to be Palpatine Mary Sue. I mean, I hate saying that at this point, but it's
oh my god.
I'm not going to get lost in it. That's all I'm going to say on it.
We're not talking about TLJ right now.
Yeah.
I have visual aids if you're watching the YouTube version. But no, about the holiday special, I like how it like hardcore canonizes Finn being a Jedi, cuz this is not a spoiler, this is the beginning. But Rey is teaching Finn how to master the Force, and it's like, "Oh, cool if we saw that anywhere else." It was definitely kiddie, but there were definitely some jokes for, you know, old time fans like us, old timers. But just be weird watching them all, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you guys know how I feel about the sequel trilogy as a whole. I think that The Force Awakens was a good movie. I think that The Last Jedi was a good film, but a bad Star Wars movie. And I think that The Rise of Skywalker was a good Star Wars adventure, but a bad movie. And that's kind of where I stand with those. And I'm kind of okay just kind of putting them to the side. And I'm not really going to tell people they can or can't like them. But for me personally, I have no reason to kind of revisit them until they give me a reason to revisit them, a la something like the Clone Wars that, you know, kind of went back and added a lot of texture and flavor to the prequels. If they do something like that, because Resistance isn't that, you know, maybe if they do something, which it seems like they might be doing with The Mandalorian, because it sure seems like we're leading to some sort of, you know, revival of Palpatine or Snoke, one or the other or both in that series, or at least what it seems like it was.
Yeah.
But before we move on from Christmas gifts, I got my best friend got me the child. And he is super fucking lifelike, and it's crazy.
I'm going to be like, honest with you.
It's plush on the inside, but like his head is like plastic, and it like really looks like legit.
I think that I would be happier with that version than paying for the sideshow version.
Oh my God, it's so expensive for no reason.
Well, that, and also it's like, it's really cool and lifelike, but it's like, I feel like I want that plush version of the child. Instead.
Well, I don't have
like,
to worry if my cats knock it over. It's not
exactly
hundreds
of
dollars, you know? So I got that. And then I ended up picking up Star Wars Squadrons on sale. Cause ooh, I played the first level.
PS5?
PS4, but PS5. Yeah.
Wow. $375 for the slideshow one.
Yeah. That's why I'd rather, I'm good with that one. So, but yeah, Squadrons, I don't know, man. Like, it's not that it's not good. I think it's a good game. I'm just not good at it. Like, I just can't figure out, like, what I'm doing wrong. Like, I feel like I'm horrible at this game.
Do you think you would be better if
but
you
I was
did
fine in Battlefront 2's, like, Starfighter missions, so I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Well, do you think you would be better if you had the actual, like, flight stick situation?
Probably not, honestly. I think I'd probably be even worse
because
I wouldn't even know
feel
what the
like
hell is what. I want to try it in VR. I feel like because my periphery
I think
is so limited, you know what I mean? Maybe that's what it is. Because I wish that there was a way to look around in the cockpit, because I feel like you press, you know, you look left or right and the whole ship moves left or right. And I want to physically be able to look left or right. So I got to try it in VR.
Let me know how it is, because I was gonna pick up Squadrons 2, but I was like, well, let me get Immortal for now and kind of see where I go from there. But
yeah, I knew I wasn't gonna have time to set up the VR, so I was like, let me get Squadrons instead of
Yeah.
Vader Immortal. Like, I had the opposite of you, where I was thinking on one or the other. And I also heard Vader Immortal wasn't as good on PSVR as it was on Oculus.
See, that's the thing. But you kind of talked me out of waiting to pay $300 to get a Quest to play Vader Immortal.
Don't buy a Quest for one game.
Yeah. Well, I want a Quest just in general, but yeah. It was $20. You can't really beat that. So yeah. I'll see how it is.
Yo, who published Vader Immortal?
Disney Interactive, I'm almost positive.
Yeah, EA did it.
But was it Buena Vista? Like,
I can't.
I thought that was Disney Interactive. Let me see. Let me look it up.
It looks self-published or something. Because, yeah, on the Wikipedia page, nothing shows it. I say so because you're probably more likely, Nate at least, to get Developer Squadron on an EA Access type thing.
Yeah, Disney Interactive Studios.
Oh, okay, cool.
So it looks like it was developed internally at Industrial Light & Magic.
Yeah,
it was all their VR stuff. My brother's playing the Galaxy's Edge VR thing. He says that's really good.
Ooh, that looks really cool. Good. Is that on PSVR or it's only on Quest?
No, that's going to be Quest
right now. Yeah. Well, this ILM VR shit is all Quest first. It's crazy. Okay. I mean, Quest runs it the best, of course.
I mean, it's pushing you to buy the Quest. I mean, it's smart. Yeah. I can't fault him on that.
I do want to buy a Quest. Yeah. But Vader Immortal, yeah, that's cool. Anthony, solid game. And Star Wars Squadrons. Oh, no, wait, you picked up Star Wars Squadrons, you said, yeah.
Well, you beat Star Wars Squadrons, right?
I enjoyed Star Wars Squadrons for what it was. Yeah.
Did you play the multiplayer at all? Or?
Yeah, I played the multiplayer. I didn't dig it at all, really. I just played a couple matches. Everyone's just so much better than me. It's really not fun at all. It's not really enjoyable whatsoever.
Yeah, like I played a couple matches because I had the EA Access 10-hour trial when it came out.
Yeah,
playing
that one, yeah.
And it only lets you play the first mission. Nate, I think you might be breathing into the mic.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. I just wanted to catch it now. So it lets you play the first story mission, to like both sides, like Empire and New Republic, and then it gives you the rest of the 10-hour trial is multiplayer only. So I tried playing the multiplayer, and I don't think I got one single, you know, ship destroyed. I think I died every time that I spawned in. Like I couldn't figure it out. So maybe
it's
if I play
the
campaign
alone
more,
I mean, it was what, 17-19 bucks?
I got it for 20, I think.
Yeah, Squadrons was about $20.
It's a good price for $20 for a 6-hour campaign or whatever, what have you.
I'm right at the end of Claudia Gray's Lost Stars novel, which is about two fighter pilots too. And so I was in the mood for it at the time, and that's kind of why, like, the other reason why I went with that instead of Vader Immortal, because I was like, I kind of had my mindset in that kind of Squadron kind of, you know, fighter pilot kind of mode. And I think that you need to read that book next, Nate. Once you're done with Thrawn Treason, you need to do Lost Stars.
Okay.
It's really good. Apparently it was the first one, like the first of the new canon. And I didn't even know that. I thought Aftermath was, but I guess it was Lost Stars. So, but definitely check it out. I really, really like it. But yeah, so let's just, anyone have any last thoughts, or should we just dig into this,
I say let's just go into it, because that's the meat of kind of what's going on right now.
All right. So let's see. So on, when was it? On December 10th, looks like. Feels like it was forever ago at this point. But on December 10th.
Same day as the Game Awards. Same exact, it was happening same time.
And wasn't that the same day as
the Marvel also?
Cyberpunk, or was that the week after? Yeah, it was Cyberpunk,
I think,
or was Cyberpunk the week after?
No, it was like the night of or something like that. Whatever.
I don't remember. Whatever.
But yeah, Disney had its whole thing.
We got a lot of announcements. It was at a Disney shareholder, the Walt Disney Investor Company's Day. Investor Day. So Kathleen Kennedy, she took the stage, and we're only talking about Star Wars here. There was a lot of Marvel stuff, a lot of, you know, just stuff in general for Disney, and a lot of Hulu stuff.
Buzz Lightyear origin film. Insane.
The character that was based, the toy was based on, not the toy himself, because they made sure to clarify that, because that's super important. So the first thing that is on this blog post, I didn't realize it was the first thing they announced.
I don't think this is in order of what they announced, but whatever. This is the StarWars.com blog post. This isn't some Johnny Bruhaha's IGN article, you know. This is
I don't think this is the order that it was revealed in, but so we are getting a Star Wars feature film in 2023 by director Patty Jenkins, who did Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman 1984. One of those movies was good, one of those movies
Dude, one of those movies was so bad. I was actually pretty high for Rogue Squadron before. I'm like, you know what? Wonder Woman was a good movie. But then I came come out of 84 on so, HBO Max.
So Jeff kind of jumped the gun there. It is going to be a Rogue Squadron movie. So now the interesting thing for me is that because Patty Jenkins does have kind of that history with, you know, fighter pilots, her father was a fighter pilot. She grew up with kind of being around that environment. And it sounds like she has a story she wants to tell, which has been an issue in Star Wars feature films lately, where there's not a story they know clearly that they want to tell. And then they kind of wing it. So if she has a specific story that she wants to tell, I'm ready to hear it. Now, the thing is with Wonder Woman 1984, because I've seen a lot of people online that are freaking out and they're like, oh my God, this movie's horrible. Rogue Squadron is going to be horrible because this movie was horrible. Wonder Woman 1984. Did I say 1989? 1984.
Why not? Doesn't even make a difference.
Whatever, it doesn't make a difference. There's like literally no reason for it to be set in that time period. Aside from just being far enough away from when Superman landed on Earth.
It's so stupid.
That movie feels like it... I don't even know. Bad. It's like they just used the first draft they wrote. You know, like it does, like it feels like they never edited it. They never like proofread it. They never like thought about what makes sense about it.
That's what it feels like. But it's crazy because they announced it and the 1984 subtitle back in 2018. So it's like, yo, how did you guys like you had so much time on this? It's I don't know.
I think in 1984, well, I think pushed, it, so. Yeah, I think it was in that window where they were reshaping the DCEU. So
yeah,
that could have something to do with the thing with Rogue Squadron. I think there's actually a lot of really good positive things that can come from this, starting with what you'd said about her family and things like that and the story she wants to tell. Another thing is one thing that Patty Jenkins does do well, at least from what I've seen, at least in the first Wonder Woman movie. The thrill that you see in the movies that she has, like in terms of the action sequences, they're good. I mean, apart from the ending of the last of the first Wonder Woman, where that was just a CGI mess.
Well, that had Zack Snyder's fingerprints all over it.
Yeah. There's that. And then there's also the fact that this is going to be, from what they kind of talked about, a Rogue One sequel in a certain way of putting it. And going back and rewatching Rogue One this past year, actually just a couple weeks ago, Anthony, me and you talked about it. Rogue One is a great movie and probably in terms of film, one of the best out of the first wave of Disney Star Wars movies. But it's kind of boring. Not a lot happens. It's very much like tone setting. Well, it's not even that. It's mostly tone setting, and you know, it's a different Star Wars.
Well,
movie
it's very drab. Like Solo, say what you want about Solo. I love Solo, but I know
it's entertaining as hell. It's so much fun.
It's entertaining. Rogue One. It's very drab. It's a war movie. It's about death. It's not about, you know, there's not going to be a happy ending. Even the first time you saw that movie, without, you know, before you knew the ending, you knew the ending.
And that has a lot to do with it too. But for me,
I kind of almost, you know what the vibe I kind of am getting from, or maybe I'm just kind of, maybe this is me making it up, I don't know, because we really don't have any information about this other than knowing that Patty Jenkins has a story she wants to tell. But I almost am getting like Captain Marvel vibes, you know, like I almost feel like,
don't say that.
Why, you mean like Captain Marvel?
No, Captain Marvel was good. I think Captain Marvel got too overhyped for me to where my expectations were higher.
My problem with Captain Marvel is that they put it in between Infinity War and Endgame, where I was just like, I just didn't care about anything between those. Like Ant-Man too. Like when they did, yeah. Like that's, if they should have put Ant-Man before Infinity War, because once Infinity War came out, I already knew, well, Ant-Man takes place before it. So obviously the ending, someone's getting dusted and then it's a cliffhanger. And it's like, I just don't care. Like, I just don't like, and I ended up watching the movie eventually and I really liked it. It's a really good movie, but it's like the placement of it. It's like, why are you doing that? So,
I get what you're saying.
But let's get off the Marvel bandwagon though. Cause that's
what you guys, the podcast. Well, okay. So I'm looking right now. So the N64 1999 title Star Wars Rogue Squadron took place, just 6 months after the Battle of Yavin. So in between 4 and 5,
so
where do you
this,
think
movie,
this movie
I
will
think
take
is
place?
Actually going to be about the New Republic, because the way that they're talking
what?
About it, it's
really?
And it's going to move the saga into the future era of the galaxy. That's quote, move the saga into the future era of the galaxy. So I think it's going to be New Republic setting. how far into the New Republic, because technically speaking, anything after Return of the Jedi would be New Republic era. So I don't know how.
And the sequel trilogy really didn't do much. They showed, hey, this is the New Republic, and then in the first movie, it's gone. So yeah, so that is a good question. Time period when this is going to be.
If I had to guess, and this movie is 2023. So let's put a pin in this, actually, because I will come back to this because there's some other stuff that we're going to get before this movie that I think might determine when this movie is in the timeline. So let's revisit that question. But so let's go on to the next thing. We didn't get really any information on the Taika Waititi film, aside from the fact that it's confirmed now, and that is going to be... let's see. Kathleen said, Taika's approach to Star Wars will be fresh, unexpected, and unique, and his enormous talent and sense of humor will ensure that audiences are in for an unforgettable ride. I have no idea what this movie could be about.
I have two theories. First one is that, and I think it depends on how the High Republic actually is once I read it. But I feel like this could be, they could put him in charge of doing a High Republic film if they're wanting to do that. I don't know, because I could see Taika's charm and unique storytelling fitting in a more
that well, kind so of there's time no, period. There's no Sith out in the open yet, right? In the High Republic, so you would think it would be more Jedi being
fun.
Maybe not less fun, but maybe less
focused on evil.
Yeah, like less, it's not a galactic conflict at that point. Yeah. So
my second would be that this is where, because we talked about it before we started recording, this film might have something to do with like either Wild Space or like the Outer Rim. And this is where we could see Batuu being introduced.
I would love that, yeah.
Because we've already seen from Ragnarok what he can do just building a completely random alien world that immerses you into that experience. So, and even with some of his other films too, but I think Ragnarok's a better example since it's alien in a lot of ways. But yeah, I could easily see them putting him in charge. Hey, we haven't really touched the Outer Rim or these territories. Show us what that looks like.
You know what's funny is you say we haven't really touched the Outer Rim, but I feel like majority of the planets that we go to in Star Wars are in the Outer Rim.
That's funny. Like
Tatooine, Geonosis, Naboo.
Well, and you can kind of see it more when we go through all of them. But what I think we're seeing with Disney's turn of face, basically, from the sequel trilogy is expanding the universe entirely.
Right.
And really building out the minute details of this universe.
I would love for this to be a High Republic movie. I think that I think that he could do a lot with making charming characters and making the Jedi cool and fun again, because you know, the Jedi are, you know, the dogma of the Jedi, they're all miserable, depressing, and they're all stupid. They blur blind.
I want more Qui-Gons.
Yeah, like definitely. Exactly. I want more Qui-Gons. I want more, not even more. I want more Yodas. You know what I mean? Like I want like, you know, so not literally
Yoda in his prime.
Not literally Yoda species, but like characters like Yoda that are just, you know, they're quirky and they're fun and they, you know, they're playful, but at the same time serious. And I could go for more of that. I mean, what about Rael Averroes from Master and Apprentice? Guys, wacky dudes like him. You know what I mean?
He would fit perfect in a Taika Star Wars movie.
So I think that could work. I also think, because if you, I don't, the logo's not on this website, but if you remember the logo that they showed for his Star Wars movie,
it has a logo.
It was like it just said Star Wars, but it was in almost like a Ben-Hur font. So I'm wondering.
Yes, I know the exact one you're talking about.
So I'm wondering if maybe you're onto something with maybe Wild Space, Nate. And maybe it's like there's a Jedi that gets stuck on a planet with no way home, and it's almost like a John Carter type of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering maybe, and that could be cool too, because that would basically be Ragnarok again. But I mean, whatever.
Here is some interesting scheduling stuff. I know I said in the beginning we're not on Charlie Brouhaha's IGN article, but I am looking at GamesRadar.com/. I love this URL. Upcoming Star Wars movie / and under Taika Waititi's, they have potentially December 2025 or December 2027. I assume they are just pulling that from whenever Disney has their, you know, 10-year slate and it's like untitled movie. So I bet those are just two potential slots. If so, that means it's either 5 or 7 years out. Also, Taika is also working on Thor: Love and Thunder, which is supposed to release in 2022. And I didn't even know this.
Which is also under Disney.
Yeah, true. A Charlie and the Chocolate Factory animated series for Netflix. I did not know that was happening.
Well, I would assume that he's probably more a producer, I would assume.
Probably. Yeah.
Or even if he's writing it, I mean, I would assume that's a little more low-key than something big budget like
this. To some, that would be cause a concern.
I don't think that would get
any, that up.
I don't think that would cause any interference.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm saying this is so far off.
Yeah.
Like, I bet he could switch up his, you know, it could be High Republic now. He could say later on behind the scenes shit, like, yeah, we were going to do this, but then we switch it up.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, we don't hear anything about that Rian Johnson trilogy that was announced a while ago.
So. Or the Game of Thrones.
I think they officially said that they stepped away from
They
it.
Did that.
Okay.
The
okay.
Rian Johnson one is on this game's radar thing, but the release date says unknown.
It's not listed on. Yeah, it's not listed.
No one wants it. Yeah. Disney's not acknowledging it. The next thing Disney acknowledges is what I'm so excited for.
Yes. So the next thing is going to be the Star Wars Disney Plus television show, Obi-Wan Kenobi. I thought it was just going to be called Kenobi. They're actually calling the show Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
In case people didn't know who. Even like if it was called like Old Ben or something. I don't know. I feel like just calling it Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It's
like,
cool, you know.
I guess, but the big news for that, because we already knew that was confirmed, we already knew Ewan McGregor was returning confirmed, the big news that I lost my mind over is our boy Hayden Christensen is coming back. Now, she specifies, Kathleen Kennedy specifies he's coming back as Darth Vader. She doesn't say Anakin Skywalker. She says Darth Vader. So I'm wondering, I mean, you don't bring him back just to put him in the suit without taking his helmet off, right? So I don't know if it's going to be like Ahsoka and Vader in Rebels where you know, the helmet's damaged and you see his face on the inside. Maybe it's going to be hallucinations, flashbacks.
Even if that's the case, they showed with that and even with the series finale of Clone Wars, even that slight moment where you can see his eyes specifically when he's looking in that shot, like the minor things that they do to give emotion to Vader as a character works every time, works both times that they've done it. So even if it's just minor in terms of you can clearly see that that's Hayden Christensen in some kind of way, or even
him as Anakin again. I mean, it could be like the Rogue One thing where he was in the back to tank and you see him there.
Yeah.
It could be that too, but I think we're going to see him as Anakin as well.
But that's,
in some way, I don't know if it's going to be a force back. I hate that.
Darth Vader, Hayden Christensen's playing him when he's killing the younglings. He's Darth Vader at that point, you know?
Right,
we don't have to wear the suit.
Yeah.
They just elongate that scene.
That's what's interesting about this, because this has been a project Star Wars fans have been wanting for a long, 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 long time.
It was supposed to be a feature. Now it's a TV show, which I like TV shows for this type of thing better because you can explore more in them. Like imagine Mandalorian was a movie instead of, eight episodes a season.
They did some stuff like in Rebels is a good example to where they kind of bridged the gap, sort of like, hey, he was kind of doing some stuff beforehand. So, but I think what's confirmed, no matter what, that we're getting, there you go, we're definitely going to see Qui-Gon again. Liam Neeson is cast in this in some way, shape, or form that they haven't announced yet because
hear his voice.
In some way because he's been in Clone Wars. Was he in Rebels as a voice at all?
Because
he was prominent in Clone Wars for a few.
I don't think he would have had anything to do in. I mean, if you want to count World Between Worlds, where you hear his voice, but you hear everyone's voice in that, so I don't know if you count that.
That's something I know for a fact is going to happen because I mean they keep bringing it up with Revenge of the Sith.
Well, I mean it makes sense because at the end of Revenge of the Sith, in your exile, training your old master, I've made contact with or whatever he said. It would almost be weird to have him not at least even if you don't want to see Qui-Gon, at least hear his voice talking to him.
Yeah,
because I know that was kind of a EU thing originally was that Qui-Gon never figured out fully how to
manifest
appear as a force ghost, but he was able to commune except on Mortis he was able to because Mortis was so attuned to the force. So
but other than that I have no idea what the show's going to be about, even with Hayden involved as Darth Vader. Like
I think it's going to be about Obi-Wan maybe trying to,
I hope it's a personal story that has nothing to do with the grand scale of the universe.
It's going to be Obi-Wan on Tatooine. You could clearly tell from the logo, the sand. Right. Which Anakin hates on the lettering.
So but there's going to be a desert vibe. I think that
it's there's been rumors, Coruscant, you know.
Right.
There's but Kathleen says that. Kathleen says that Ewan and Anakin and Obi-Wan are going to have the. Where's the exact? I'm going to paraphrase. She said they're going to have the duel of the century or the rematch of the century, something like that. So they're going to meet. You know what I mean? It's not going to be and
no, there. Vader, I don't think so. That would make no sense. It would have to be.
Will be
Vader.
The rematch of the century. Is no, so, what she says. Because even if you think about it, it's a one-off one-liner in A New Hope, and I don't think George Lucas intended for it to mean this back in 1976 when he wrote it.
When they meet
when
up again?
When no yeah when Vader says you should not have come back. Now, does he mean to the galaxy at large? Does he mean to the Death Star shouldn't have come back? So I don't know. It could be one of those things where.
Wait,
it didn't
look,
mean anything
say in
back
that
then.
Duel, doesn't he say in that duel, I haven't seen you since whatever? Like, essentially, like the
no,
last time I saw you,
just says
you
should not have come back. Like, yeah, the last time, you know, no, I was about the apprentice. Now I am the master. Yeah, but
yeah, I think doesn't that imply they haven't seen each other since most of
yeah,
all?
Yeah, but you could spin it. I mean,
okay, no, yeah, obviously, just you know, take that.
And this is going to be directed by Deborah Cho. The whole series is so. Remind me as far as I guess even
she
second season
directed,
two, what episodes she directed?
I don't remember which ones, but I know I liked her episodes. I just don't remember.
I think she might have done the episode.
She might have done the. Well, I was going to say she might have done. I think she did. I thought she might have done
the three
one
and
with
seven, the Sin and the Reckoning. The three is the Armorer.
That was a good. Oh, yeah, that was a good episode.
Chapter three, the Sin.
What is the Sin? Why am I?
And chapter seven, the Reckoning. So chapter seven was when they go.
Oh, two Greef Karga episodes.
Yeah.
Okay, seven is the one where IG-11 is reprogrammed as a nurse, and he's like,
right, and that's when he takes
guy?
The helmet off the first time, and he says, "Well, I'm not a human, so I can take your helmet off." And
did she do? Did she do the season finale of season two? Because that's what it's showing on.
All
no,
I,
it's not.
All
no,
I
sorry,
see is
sorry,
chapter
sorry,
three,
sorry.
Chapter
no,
seven.
No, no. I'm just on the main page for the Mandalorian. I'm wrong.
She also did an episode of Better Call Saul and an episode of The Man in High Castle. Also, Obi-Wan Kenobi will be a 6-episode miniseries. Six episodes, yeah. Limited, one season, nothing yep. more, nothing less.
Yep. Yep.
So the point of that primarily is this show is in good hands. There's no, I don't think this show is going to disappoint.
And I really doubt Dave Filoni is going to be completely detached from it. I'm sure he'll be.
No,
dude, Dave Filoni sorry. Right now, as long as he, I trust.
He's George Lucas.
I'm sure.
Call him George.
He's a producer of some form in this. He's not going to not be around. You know what I mean?
I think
so
it'll be Deborah's
show, but yeah. Filoni is going to. He's kind of the new keeper of the Holocron. So.
Speaking yeah. of Filoni, the next show.
Yeah, we're getting three new shows from Dave Filoni. only two of them were announced at this Investors Day presentation, but you know, a week later we found out we are getting a third one based on the post credits of The Mandalorian season two. So we are getting Ahsoka, we are getting Rangers of the New Republic. And we are getting the Book of Boba Fett, which is confirmed now. I don't think we knew if it was confirmed when we last recorded. It is confirmed to not be Mandalorian Season 3. Mandalorian Season 3 is still happening, separate from the Book of Boba Fett. So yeah, I mean, that right there alone is probably all I needed. And the fact that we're getting even more is kind of crazy to me. So
yeah, the fact that they're doing three not at a time. Of course, they're gonna like pace them out a little bit. But it's cool the fact that Mandalorian has become a literal launching point for new Star Wars.
It's
like
the Iron Man of Star Wars.
Yep. I mean, it's the pivot that Disney has needed going from the sequel trilogy. And
man, like, imagine if we started the Disney era with The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Here's the thing. And this is how I already know it's going to be. It's going to be good is
walk before you crawl.
We don't know. I mean, Ahsoka, we can, and I'll get into my theories on Ahsoka specifically, but like Rangers of the New Republic and especially Book of Boba Fett. I guess we'll do Rangers. That shouldn't be something that's. You know, out of all of them, if you're a casual Star Wars fan, I feel like you would think that would be the weakest because you don't know much about it. But like, I'm excited for that. From what they've showed of the New Republic.
I'm excited to see more of the New Republic because we don't know anything about the New Republic.
Yes.
Speaking of more, you ready for this? I'm just looking at the wording here. So Obi-Wan Kenobi is referred to as a special event series on Disney Plus. Ahsoka is referred to as a limited series. And, New Republic is referred to as a new live action series, no modifier. So based on just that reading, it appears that New Republic will have the most potential seasons. Ahsoka mm-hmm. is limited to either one or two, maybe. I don't know how they're defining
limited series. I think that Ahsoka is has a specific endpoint. And that's why I think they're trying to. I think that wording is very careful, so that it's not saying it's only one event? Season.
One season,
because Obi. I think the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. I think that is supposed to be a long movie. You know what I mean? Almost like a Snyder cut.
Parts,
Like I think that mm-hmm. that's what
not
that's
a continuous
more
series.
Supposed to
yeah.
be. Whereas Ahsoka, it's still a TV show, but it's them kind of giving you a little nudge of like, hey, this isn't going for five seasons.
So going right into it. What do you think Ahsoka's going to be? What do you think the Ahsoka show is going to be?
Clearly going to be about finding Ezra Bridger, right?
I would think so. I mean, the logo right off the bat makes me think that it has a lot to do with the world between worlds that we saw in Rebels.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's very symbolic of that. But the fact that we got introduced, name dropped by Thrawn, of Thrawn, this past season of The Mandalorian, I think that this... Either this or New Republic, I think, is where we're going to see him for the first time. I think it's more than likely going to be Ahsoka.
Okay,
though,
so
I think you're
all
right,
let's just talk about the elephant in the room. They said that these series, which they didn't include Boba Fett because it wasn't revealed yet, and I think that that show actually is going to be kind of standalone. I think it's just going to be Boba Fett kind of taking over the crown.
I hope so.
I hope that that's kind of like standalone. Like, I don't mind if Boba still shows up to help Din or whatever. That's fine. But I hope that the story of the Book of Boba Fett, I hope that is a standalone thing. I hope that doesn't really connect to the other stuff. With Ahsoka, Rangers of the New Republic, and Mandalorian Season 3, they said that it's building up to some sort of major crossover event. I don't remember the exact... climactic story event. This, they're doing Heir to the Empire, right? Obviously they have to adapt and change things because, like, Rook is gone. And, you know, like... Mark Hamill's not 25 anymore, but
yeah,
I mean, this has to be building to Heir to the Empire, right?
You would think
so. You don't
so.
Grand Admiral Thrawn and not do some sort of Heir to the Empire adaptation. And there's still plenty of time.
That's a book?
Or
that's
so Heir to the Empire was the first of the Thrawn trilogy. It was Heir to the Empire. I forgot. I always
It was the Thrawn books.
The original Timothy Dalton ones, which a lot of people, you know, before we got really anything else aside from the prequels, that was kind of everyone kind of agreed, like, that's our sequel trilogy. That's our sequel story.
Yeah.
And then obviously Disney, you know, pressed the delete button in 2013. But I mean, that, like, those novels were so well received and so adored. And I feel like it just makes too much sense to bring him. I mean, you don't bring Timothy Zahn back into the fold. You don't have him make five Thrawn books. I think he's working on the second Thrawn Ascendancy book coming out soon that I still haven't even finished the first Ascendancy one yet. But you don't bring Timothy Zahn back into the fold and bring Thrawn into live action, bring Thrawn into animation even, and then bring him into live action.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't kill Thrawn in Rebels, you know what I mean? So I think that... it is weird that they killed Rook, because Rook plays such a integral part of that Heir to the Empire trilogy. But, I mean, you could have anyone fill in. What I want to know is if we're going to see fucking Eli Vanto, man. If we get a live-action Eli Vanto, I'll shit.
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
But, I mean, that's where my thought process went, is that, you know, Ahsoka's story is going to be she's looking for Ezra. And then maybe Ezra fills a kind of another character, maybe he fills in the role of another character from that trilogy.
He could be. Do you think he could be like the Luke in this situation in a way?
Maybe not Luke, but maybe like I gotta go through those books because
Full transparency, I have not read the books.
Yeah, I've read the synopsis. I never actually read them, so I gotta actually.
Yeah. I feel like that would be an easy out to like basically use Ezra as that, because they can really do whatever they want with Ezra, because all we know is they disappeared into hyperspace, and there's a lot of things that they can do, and I think that they are teeing themselves up to really give them a lot of creative freedom to get away with a lot of things in particular. How do you, the next one here, I am slightly indifferent about, That would be the Lando series.
So we don't know. We don't know if this is Billy Dee Williams or if it's
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. I was thinking Childish Gambino. We don't know if it's one or the other or both. If it's recast, is this animated? Is it live action? We don't know anything about this.
This is so far off.
Yeah.
This has no production. This is pre-production. You know? Like all they have is a dude who's going to start developing the story. This one must be in like 27 or something, I think.
I really... Honestly, I would be okay with this being animated.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. By the way, guys, look at the wording they use, event series. So Lando is going to be whatever the same thing that Obi-Wan is. Interesting.
Yeah, so...
I think it's going to go one of two ways. I think it's either going to be Donald Glover reprising his role, and it's more like telling more stories about Lando, which I'm totally cool with, because I think
that's where
we
get the follow-up to the Crimson Dawn stuff from Solo.
Yeah.
That's okay. Those would be lumped in together. Those two, a reintroduction of Crimson Dawn and actual perpetuity. And then, Donald Glover reprising his role. The other option I think that they could go with, I don't think they will, just because they didn't give any attention to it at all, is the whole thing with Janna.
Yeah.
Because she was from Rise of Skywalker. Nine? Yeah. From Nine. As far as like it actually not being about Lando, but more being about her, like Lando being the, like, instead of giving her own show, because Episode 9 was Episode 9, they could tell a story in that way. Cause she's an interesting character, and apparently, it's still a shoehorn lineage, I feel like, just cause how 9 was portrayed, but that's how I could see the show going.
I wonder if it could go both ways, and there's like a frame story of like Lando and Janna are like, looking for something, and then they're sitting by a campfire, and Lando's like, "Hey, remember this one time that I was hanging out with that scoundrel Han?" And then it flashes back to like Alden, and you think it's too cheesy?
That'd be actually so funny. That'd be very cheesy, but so funny.
I would love it, but I don't think that's what we're getting, though.
Unfortunately, though, I'm just looking at the numbers. I don't see a situation how it could be Billy Dee. If we're saying this is so far off that it's 2027, let's say, Billy Dee is 83. Near 90-year-old man leading a show. How many shows right now have 90-year-olds?
Well, that's why I was thinking maybe like VO, because he could do VO easy for animated series. I don't know.
Would be a very cool thing. Yeah.
It would be weird to not bring back Donald.
Yeah, for a Lando show.
So
yeah.
As that character in Solo. Like, no matter what people's thoughts are of Solo, usually they'll at least admit, but Lando was good in it.
And Disney's got the money, It's really if just Donald Glover wants to go with the music or whatever.
Well, like we had talked about, before too, off air, the Crimson Dawn stuff they teed up, especially in the final season of the Clone Wars. We don't know if we're actually going to get a Maul show with Ray Park because of the scandal that I guess most people don't know about him posting.
He posted a very inappropriate video that... I'm not going to explain
to Instagram. I'm not going to describe
it. Forever ago. No, it was like 5 years ago.
No, it was last year. Yeah, it was last year. It was in 2020. But if that's the case, we're not getting something with Ray Park specifically, that would be a cool way to continue. Because Crimson Dawn, the idea of that,
just
like
just friggin' put Sam Witwer in the makeup. Yeah. Just do it. Just
honestly. Whatever. Yeah. But that is a good point. It's something I did forget about. That's something we very well could see in the Lando show. If we're not going to get more of a, like, Solo experience with Aldridge.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that one is Aldridge.
Aldridge Killian is Iron Man 3.
Alden
What's the guy's name?
Alden Ehrenreich. God bless. I'm like Aldridge having Killian. A stroke.
Wow, that was a deep cut.
That was a deep cut.
Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I haven't seen that movie in a long time.
I'm the real Mandarin.
Who the fuck is Vision? Who plays Vision?
Paul Alden Bettany. Alden Ehrenreich.
Actor's name, but who's Vision?
Paul Bettany.
Jarvis.
I know. What's his name in Jarvis. Fucking Solo? In Solo.
Beckett. Dryden Vos. Damn it.
Okay, what happened? He died in the end of that, right? Yeah. In the end of Solo? Yeah. I totally forgot.
Yeah, he died.
What's her name? 100%.
Okay, so he's not coming back.
Spoilers for Solo, if you somehow haven't seen that. Yeah, right. If you listen to this podcast.
Do we think Maul, so I still haven't watched the Rebels part, is the first, is that scene in Rebels when he meets up with Obi-Wan, is that the first time they meet since
episode one?
No, I'm saying it was the first time they met since the fight where Qui-Gon died?
No, there was the whole Clone Wars stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, whatever. So in between that, since Order 66 then?
Since Order 66, I would assume, yeah, because he's because Maul was on Malachor, like, basically freaking out, being like, I've been hunting for this motherfucker for, like, years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so.
Because I was just thinking, is there a way that Maul could somehow be in
into Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Lando as, like, a crime guy and Obi-Wan. Like,
I can see Maul being in the Obi-Wan show as like a phantom or like something haunting him, but not like not the real Maul. I could see like a vision of Maul. You know what I mean? Like,
that'd be cool if we get Maul.
I mean,
showing up
think
the
about
shows.
The PTSD that Obi-Wan probably has from Order 66. So I wouldn't be surprised if that show is about him confronting.
If it's about trauma, I'm cool with that.
Oh, dude, it's going to be about trauma. How could it not be?
About that. Like, he's confronting Maul, he's confronting Vader, he's confronting
to kill
Emperor.
Clones. Like,
oh, this show's
that's gonna be a great show.
Oh, that show's gonna be so good. All right, so moving on. So I think this is actually gonna be the next show we're gonna get that is after this whole Mandalorian cinematic universe. Is Andor, which is the Cassian Andor show. Cassian Andor is being reprised by Diego Luna, who played him in Star Wars Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. Mm-hmm. They announced some new cast as well. I don't believe any of these were confirmed prior to this. So we got Stellan Skarsgård, Adria Arjona, Fiona Shaw, Denise Gao, Kyle Soller, and Genevieve O'Reilly as Mon Mothma. So she portrayed Mon Mothma in Rogue One as well as Revenge of the Sith, the deleted scenes of Revenge of the Sith. And I think she might have did the voice in Clone Wars as well.
This is a Disney Plus original movie.
No, this is a series.
Series. Yeah.
Where does it say the word series?
Tense, nail-biting thriller, etc. I mean, I'm pretty sure
it's been released. That is an interesting point, but it has been like for the past couple of years, it's been like it's a series. That's weird that they don't say it in that, but I think that might be an oversight. But no, it's a series. That is exciting, though. I wasn't really excited about the Andor thing. Like, I'm still going to watch it.
It's a 12 episode series.
But the fact that they're going like nail biting spy thriller, it's like that kind of precedent.
It's like the opening to Rogue One when he's on. Yeah,
phenomenal.
I don't know
great.
What planet that is. But I don't remember.
It was some kind of station.
And then he has to kill the guy with the bad leg because he knows he's going to rat him out. And like that type of stuff. I would love more of that. That I thought that opening scene was so awesome. It felt very Star Wars Bounty Hunter to me for like the
about that. Yeah.
So I'm down for more of that. So I'm excited. And the fact that we're getting Genevieve O'Reilly back as Mon Mothma is cool. It's going to tie it all together with the overall rebellion. I don't know when this is set, so I don't know how many years before
prequel
Rogue One
it's going like, to
be. Obviously, it's before Rogue One because he doesn't make it out of Rogue One.
Five years before the events of the film.
Okay, so that's cool. So that puts us well ahead of Rebels as well. Then.
And 12 episodes, yeah.
Just yeah, so this is even well before Rebels. So this is going to kind of be... It's going to be like a
same
good
time period as Solo.
Solo, I think, was about 10 years before.
Yeah, I think
9 or 10 years before.
So a little after.
So it's in a good time period. It's not really conflicting with any other movies or films. It can kind of do its own thing, really, you know, which I think is cool.
By the way, this is where it's going to start becoming. All right. At what point do these motherfuckers forget about the Jedi? Because if like. In Lando, the galaxy at large, like, remember the Jedi they show. But then, like, in Andor, they show they forget. Like, I hope they stay consistent of some sort, you know?
Well, it's going to depend on the person,
on
too.
On the location,
The average galactic citizen probably didn't know the Jedi. And they probably heard rumors of who the Jedi were, but never saw them. And it's easy for the Emperor to just say, oh, that's all made up bullshit. So, I mean, obviously, people that participated in the Clone Wars, like Bo-Katan, obviously, she's going to be like, yeah, I know the Jedi.
Yeah.
Because she fought with them. But like your average galactic citizen, like your Joe Schmo, who's a janitor on Coruscant, he's dumb enough to believe, all right, yeah, Jedi were fake, obviously.
Just while Nate is in the bathroom or wherever he went, they also, what Disney didn't officially announce, but what could still be in the works, is that Kevin Feige Star Wars movie. We don't know anything about that, but just, you know, reports and stuff like that. But That could be cool. But going on to the next confirmed thing.
This is really interesting. So the next thing that we confirmed, it's called The Acolyte, and it's going to be a Disney Plus series. It's going to be developed and I think directed by Leslie Headland, who did the Netflix series Russian Doll, which I thought was awesome. I binged the whole thing in like 4 hours. It's really good. It's very trippy, but it's really good. I'm not sure you get Star Wars vibes from it, but it's just the fact that she was able to craft a really unique show gives me hope for this. This is set in the final days of the High Republic, and it is
Sith related.
A mystery thriller that will take the audience into the galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era. So
interesting. It doesn't say Sith though. But it must be. What else?
I like that.
Well, see, here's the thing. Sith acolyte, you know. So
I like that though, because Jedi Sith. I'm not going to say I don't want to see that anymore in Star Wars, but I want them to get more nuanced with it. Like, there's a lot more that they can do, especially with the High Republic, and even more historical things about the Jedi, where it's not like the Jedi and Sith we know from the Skywalker saga. Right. I didn't think much of this until me and you were talking about this, and this could very well be, well, two things. One, I feel like the fact that they've confirmed that this is a show that's set in the High Republic era gives a little bit more credence to the possibility of the Taika Waititi thing we talked about, as far as that being a theatrical thing. But with The Acolyte, like you had talked about, we could see something akin to maybe not Revan, but more like Plagueis or something Tenebris. Along those lines.
We can get one of the other podcasts I listened to, Rebel Force Radio, they were talking about the potential of maybe bringing back Darth Talon, who was supposed to be in some version of George's original sequel trilogy. Darth Talon was going to be a secret apprentice to Darth Maul, who Darth Maul was actually going to come back and be the original villain for the sequel trilogy. And she was a Twi'lek. And she was, okay. So maybe they're reimagining that character to fit this era.
Why they bring that up? Because I'm looking at Joe Schmo's blog once again, and its sources from a week after The Mandalorian Season 3 entered development, news emerged that a female-centric new Star Wars series being worked on with Leslie Headland because of Russian Doll, I guess a female show. I don't really know at all. Yeah. So there's been reports that this is going to be a female-centric series. So if that Darth you're talking about is a female, that'd be very interesting.
That would be awesome. The other thing, too, is like when I played KOTOR, I don't know why. I just always thought that it would be so much cooler to have Darth Revan as a female. I don't know why. Like, I just feel like...
I mean, Asajj is a dope-ass Sith.
Why? So, the other thing, too, is, like, when does the High Republic era end? Is it not the High Republic era?
So, the High Republic was 200 years before the prequels.
I'm just saying there's zero chance this is secretly actually the Maul show, right?
I don't think it's a Maul show, but I think it's very well...
This show is actually specified as being separate from the other shows so that it's not in that universe of the fucking, you know.
I think that this is going to have something to do with, because, I mean, if it's going to be the Sith is the line of Bane. It's going to eventually tie into some sort of Plagueis Palpatine.
Yeah. Something. Especially if it's towards the end of the High Republic area.
Yeah. So era. I mean, maybe we see Plagueis show up at the end of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Crazy. That'd be really cool. Next up.
This one we already knew about, but they're just kind of going over it again. We're getting The Bad Batch.
A lengthy trailer.
Great trailer.
Absolutely.
We're getting Star Wars The Bad Batch. It's an animated series following up on the Bad Batch squad, which was introduced in Star Wars The Clone Wars Season 7. So all of them are coming back. Dee Bradley Baker is going to have his hands full. He better be getting paid handsomely.
Yeah. Does he actually do all the voices?
He does all the voices.
That's so funny.
The character Tech. Mm. I don't know why. Like, does he he reminds me of Kevin Spacey's character from what was the fucking the movie everyone was watching at the start of the pandemic with the
Contagion,
the fever. It's like an '80s movie.
Oh, it's not Contagion. It's not Contagion, but it's. Let me find it. Hold on.
Outbreak. They just chimed in with that.
Outbreak.
He reminds me of Kevin Spacey's character from Outbreak, just like the way he looks with the goggles and everything. So, and the receding.
He does have a Kevin Spacey hairline. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part about this is that it is following Order 66. So batch of clones who aren't listening to Order 66, like, are they going to be killing other clones? Like, are they going to be killing other clones in a fucking animated show? Maybe.
I think so. The fact that it's post 66, I think is awesome because we, especially after how they finish Clone Wars, it's like, yes, let's see more, please. Like, let's see what the Star Wars world was.
This is the perfect vessel to explore more while leaving Clone Wars with that fitting ending. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, we're not getting Clone Wars season 8. It's not taking anything away from the way it ended.
It's not,
but
even
it is
Clone
still,
Wars Bad Batch. It's the Bad Batch, you know.
But it's the same animation style, which I thought was beautiful in the final season. It's a shame that we wasted a lot
and
of time.
There's, with yes, sisters. That was the two things I noticed from the trailer was that the animation, this is probably the most beautifully animated show we've gotten so far. Second, I saw it in first glance and then I actually had to screen cap it and then they, you know, confirmed it. But Ming-Na Wen's character from Mandalorian, Fennec is a prominent character in Bad Batch.
And she is voiced by Ming-Na Wen.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
The fact that she was a character just introduced in Mandalorian, only seen twice, getting involvement in a show like this is like, okay.
And she seems
cool,
super excited too, which is awesome because I love her.
Which is great.
Anything she can get. I mean, Mulan, she was great as Agent May and in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So any more involvement from her is good by me. So I'm really excited for this, man. Like when they first revealed it, I was kind of like, cool. But the more I think about it, the more I'm excited. And so there's a lot of people who are speculating online. And I've just kind of seen general chatter. I can't think of anyone specific that said it. But if there is someone that specifically said it, let me know and I'll give them credit. That I'm wondering if the Bad Batch are the ones that rescue Grogu from the temple. They will take on daring mercenary missions as they struggle to stay afloat and find new purpose.
So you think the Jedi team up with
animated
the Jedi send
Grogu
them on a mission or something?
Animated baby Grogu, come on.
I mean,
Grogu's not season 3 of Mandalorian, but he's in the Bad Batch. Come on, it's too fitting.
That would actually be the craziest way, like the craziest way to, you know, capitalize on that.
And it would make sense because everyone's like, how the hell did he not get killed by Anakin? And if the Bad Batch know Anakin, they know his tactics.
His
you know what I mean?
Small.
So
go ahead and go to this next one. There's someone at the door. Give me just a second.
Go ahead.
So this next one, Star Wars Visions. So this is going to be So Star Wars Visions is a series of animated short films celebrating Star Wars through the lens of the world's best anime creators. The anthology collection will bring 10 fantastic visions from several of the leading Japanese anime studios, offering fresh and diverse cultural perspectives to Star Wars. I'm hyped.
So
this is awesome.
Yeah, this obviously Star Wars anime. That sounds amazing. So they've done something like this before.
Are you talking about the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars series?
Oh no, definitely not that.
Are you talking about?
I'm not sure if I'm thinking of a fan made thing. Maybe it might be fan made, but I think they did. Maybe not. Either way, I hope it's like raw, animation style. You know, like not rounded, like Americanized anime. Like, you know, like I'm not gonna shit on Avatar, but like not like that Avatar, like, oh, it's kind of Japanese stuff. Like, I want this to be unabashedly Japanese art style, you know?
Avatar? You don't think Avatar is anime? Well, you want him to have fucking Goku hair?
No.
Like,
I don't know. Have you ever watched, not Goku hair, but like Akira style, you know, of like.
I guess. I mean, that's what I assumed it would be. Honestly.
Avatar's not anime. Come on. It's like American anime. I can't find this. I can't be going crazy. The animated, maybe it's Forces of Destiny.
That's the YouTube series, right?
Yeah. Maybe like one of them looked more anime than something. I don't know.
I do think there was like a fan made like adaptation.
There is,
of
yeah,
a
no,
scene
but I guess
from
that's not
one
official.
Of the movies. It was like a Revenge of the Sith scene, but it was like a fan, like
in
fan
anime,
remade
yeah, yeah.
it in anime fashion.
So, yeah, so I love those fan made things. So Star Wars Visions, bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, I'm good with this, man. I'm excited. And it's something different, something fresh. You know what I mean? It's not going to be adding on to the Filoniverse. You know what I mean? It's going to be its own cool spin on things. And the fact that it's an anthology series, which means that everything is going to be its own thing. That's going to be awesome too.
Have they confirmed that it's kind of similar to What If, Marvel's What If in some ways, where it's more like anthology, nothing really synced wise.
Well, it's going to be canon, I would assume, but they did say it's an anthology series.
Okay.
Oh, hmm. Yeah, it looks like
it's canon. Each episode will be its own. Each short will be its own story.
That's cool.
Which means minimum 10 new characters we're going to get to know. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Or they just reuse fucking side characters. You got a whole 10 minutes of Pondo Baba. Sniffing ass.
And then the last thing, because we're not going to get into Willow just because that's not Star Wars related.
But Willow.
It's cool, but not Star Wars.
And also in Indy we're getting as well. But the final Star Wars thing is a droid story. So the blog post states, as Lucasfilm continues to develop new stories, the intersection of animation and visual effects offers new opportunities to explore. Lucasfilm Animation will be teaming up with Lucasfilm's visual effects team, Industrial Light and Magic, to develop a special Star Wars adventure for Disney Plus, a droid story. This epic journey will introduce us to a new hero guided by legendary duo R2-D2 and C-3PO.
This description is a little interesting now, because I remember the way they pitched it on stage was like, this is kid shit. Like,
what
this is a show for
this
kids.
Is Grogu.
What if every show is just Grogu?
No, but it could be though.
They led it up with the last episode. Like, why did him and R2 have this cute little like moment?
Introduce us to a new hero never met guided before. By R2-D2. I don't know. I don't think
it's Grogu, but I think you're onto something.
I think
where
this is going to be like the Freemaker Adventures, like the Lego Freemaker.
It's going to be
something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's
just, I'm not opposed to it. Honestly, with the lineup that they've listed here, like if you would have asked me,
I'm okay with this
in
being
20,
a kid show. Yeah.
Yeah. If you would have asked me in 2018,
every Star Wars thing,
hey, Disney's making this thing, this kids thing for droids. It's like, oh, Disney's just trying to shell to make money. But with like the lineup that they've gotten here
the
and
context,
the content they've given us so far with this new wave of Star Wars, it's like, whatever this is, I'm here for it. You know, I'm going to experience it. Like it's going to be, hopefully I don't sleep on this and like I did Rebels and it actually has importance, but you know, we'll see. I mean, definitely one of the ones that we don't know much, if anything, about. As far, did they say that this is going to be intersection of animation and visual effects. Okay. So that is interesting though. They don't say specifically it's an animated show like the Bad Batch. So is it like, I don't know. That's interesting.
I think it's just CG. I think it's just some weird CG. I don't know. I think honestly, it's so early in development. This is like when Marvel announced Phase 3 and like you had Endgame up there and like Civil War didn't even come out. It's like, whoa, you guys are like,
yeah,
how do you even know? Like, this is just so classic. This is like good Disney forward thinking.
I can agree.
Yeah, overall, I made a fucking list. Like, I did a picture of, like, my top three, because it was a good picture also that I want to bring up to you guys. But what would you say, top three, no order, just three of the most excited things you're juiced for?
Ahsoka, clearly, because I'm such a Clone Wars guy. You know what I mean? That's that Clone Wars is what got me. Like, obviously, I grew up with the prequels, and I watched the OT before those even existed, obviously. But Clone Wars was what really started me down the path of the ultra fandom that I carry. You know what I mean? So the fact that we're getting live-action Ahsoka Tano is amazing. So that's probably, I mean, this is in no order, but I mean, that's one of my top three, I would say. And then, obviously, the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. Just the potential for this series, I think. Makes me really excited for that. And then I don't know, man, because the Bad Batch and the Acolyte. I mean, so I'll go with the Bad Batch because we don't know what the Acolyte is. But I'm an honorable mention to the Acolyte. I think it sounds promising. It sounds very interesting. But I'll go Bad Batch, Ahsoka, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Nice. Cool. Because I'm actually taking none of those. So we're going to have some diversity. I threw up the image that has all the logos of all the Star Wars things. Obi-Wan Kenobi, yeah, we're all going to take him. So excited. Fucking Hayden Christensen. Obi-Wan Kenobi Acolyte, because dude, just look at this guy. This look up Acolyte logo. It's like this cool, listeners, it's like this cool like blade slash through a red thing. It looks amazing. So Obi-Wan Kenobi Acolyte and Visions, the anime. I was saying, I'm hoping it's gonna be really sharp, cool anime. I believe in it.
So for me, I'm actually going to go with the same as Anthony, with one alteration. Ahsoka, Bad Batch, and Obi-Wan Kenobi are the ones that I personal enjoyment am so excited for. Ahsoka, for obvious reasons, just the fact that she has what started out as shoehorned kids character becoming an actual fleshed out, realized, legitimately character in the Star Wars universe, and her importance in how she ended in Rebels, ended loosely, and what that could lead to is actually on, I would say, akin to an Endgame kind of situation with Marvel in terms of this has implications for the entire universe of Star Wars, which is fascinating. Bad Batch, I am on such a high from the Clone Wars. Like, I haven't gone back and rewatched the last season, even though I want to, because I'm trying to figure out if I want to just watch that or rewatch everything. But like, the animation looks phenomenal. I'm so excited to experience this story, to experience these who are still clones, but who are the most different clones that we've ever seen. Obi-Wan Kenobi, obviously, because it's something we've waited for a long time. My honorable mention is going to be Andor. Because the hype behind Andor is giving me feelings of when I went to go see Winter Soldier for the first time, where up until that point we got, oh, this is superhero, and this is an espionage, like deep spy story. The tone that they're setting with the what they're talking about and kind of what we've seen from the beginning part of Rogue One is like, okay, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to see Star Wars tackle that kind of storytelling. That'd be my three.
Yeah, that's a great honor roll with Andor as well. So, yeah, that's I mean, there's still a lot more we could talk about, but I think that's a good place to put a pin in it. Do you guys have any closing thoughts?
I'm gonna post these visual aids. Should I post these visual aids on my wall, like as like mini posters, or should I like have them as like just fun things, like, oh, well, what do you think
about? I would say like this? On I would say maybe like line going down.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
Like chronological order chest on a podcast or something.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. How does this make you feel?
Oh my god, your therapist looks at these pictures. What does this make you feel? How
about this? I think that closing thoughts for me, I think that what we got from that investor call and how much care and attention they're putting into Star Wars now is it kind of sucks to get it now when we could have gotten it a few years ago, but like,
years. But at least they, yeah, the ship is on.
At least
the
it's right. happening.
At least yeah. it's on.
The we know
that's
for a fact
where it's a little bit of a bummer because of the fact that, like you said, like, damn, like they couldn't do this from the start.
But I feel like it almost.
But they
makes
are
even
doing
better.
It now, and I don't know if we could have gotten here now without them falling on their faces.
Exactly. You know? That's so why I don't.
You know what it is? At the end of the day, it's Disney, you know, funked up Star Wars, but then Disney Plus saved Star Wars.
Yep.
Because this is all Disney Plus. If there was Disney Plus, I don't think they would have done this.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I do think that there's a lot of people saying that this is they're going to find a way to retcon the sequel trilogy. I don't think there's any scenario.
There's not much
I can see
to
them
retcon.
Sidestepping. I could see them ignoring it, but I don't see them retconning it.
They're backing up the sequel trilogy with all the shit they're doing in Mando.
Yeah, yeah, like they're setting up the First Order. So they set up, I don't see any scenario where they retcon cloning. It. And I honestly don't think I want that. You know what I mean?
I don't.
It has to happen. I hate
like
Last Jedi, but it's
that
still
I have with the sequel trilogy. I'm always gonna have those issues. Maybe they'll lessen over time, but they happened. I don't really like when people just say, "Oh, didn't happen." We're add
There's
more.
There's a shitty casino
that
about
flesh them out
Deal
more.
With it.
You know, what I mean that's what a lot of people. I always love the prequels, but a lot of people did kind of turn around on the prequels because of Clone Wars, and so maybe they can do something. You know,
exactly
like that.
Yeah,
with children,
interesting. So. Interesting point.
They're good at doing that. They've already proven. So yeah, I think that's what's gonna happen for sure.
So, but I do think that Star Wars is on the right track. Yeah. From all of us here at Hello There, we thank you for listening. And yeah, we'll catch you on next week. Nate, you want to talk about novels next week? Are you going to get through Treason?
Yeah, if you, I don't know if I'm going to get through Treason next week, but I know I'm going to get a majority because I'm already, I think I'm on like chapter 7 right now. So, I mean, I can get through. I can get to where I can talk about it. So if you want to talk about like you're re-listening to it, you know, kind of the beginning stages of it, we can definitely do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that.
So in that case, I most likely won't be on next episode. So listeners, if you want the Lego Star Wars 411 just today on January 1st, they dropped the Imperial TIE Fighter at $40. The Luke Skywalker X-Wing Fighter at $50 and Trouble on Tatooine for $30, as well as a micro fighter, but $10, who cares? Yeah. Jeffrey Miz's recommendation for the pickup is Trouble on Tatooine. It's a 276 piece build with a little hut for a Tusken Raider and then a speeder bike and a catapult thing, essentially what's used in season 2, episode 1 to stop the Mandalorian. It comes with a, for the first time ever, is the only set we see it in, Beskar armor Mandalorian piece. The one we got in the Razor Crest, of course, was the original armor. It comes with a child piece. If you're looking for that on the cheap, you don't have to buy the $130 Razor Crest. Overall, fun set, has a lot of play ability and some great minifigs.
Nice. Yeah, and we'll have you on the show again in the future as well. So
Yeah. So,
all right. But yeah, thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all soon. May the Force be with you.
Peace.
Hello there.